And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like, whew, way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, we are going to go to the phones right now. U.S. Senator Katie Britt is our freshman senator for the state of Alabama and is tearing it up in D.C. She has been flying back and forth, working the issue of being a mom and a senator all at the same time. And we're proud to have her on the phone right now. Senator Britt, how are you?
I am doing well, Phil. I appreciate the opportunity to be on. Certainly a lot to talk about, and always good to be with you and in front of your listeners.
Well, Senator, a lot to talk about is an understatement. I think that for a conservative talk show, this is like a target-rich environment right now.
No kidding. No kidding. With every day, with every hour, with every press conference, there is more to dive into.
There is. Well, listen, I want to go straight to the question of what happened yesterday with the Biden administration, with Joe Biden himself. I really feel like we saw potentially the unraveling of the Biden administration yesterday. And let me ask you, I mean, just in my experience of being in the state legislature, there are times when something's a headline, but it doesn't feel near as big when you're walking the halls of government. Other times it feels way bigger when you're walking the halls of government. What's the perspective? What's the mood up there about how things went yesterday with Biden?
You know, I think sincerely, it's a sad day for the country because it is clear that Joe Biden, not only, as we have seen, can barely win a battle with gravity every day, but he clearly does not have the mental fitness to be the commander in chief of the greatest nation in the globe. I mean, you look at it, he was even flippant in his response about his mental limitations. And then he ended up actually affirming our fears. I mean, if you look back over the last couple of weeks, I mean, whether it is him falsely claiming that as president, he has sat down and met with long dead world leaders.
Right.
And that didn't happen just once. As you well know, it's happened to three different times yesterday. And listen, we all can make a misstep or something of that nature. He called President Sisi the president of Mexico. I've had the, during my tenure, I've actually met with President Sisi twice there in Egypt. You look, frankly, it seems like he's lost just trying to even discuss things like our six American hostages that are being held by Hamas there in the West Bank. It is disturbing. It is just and beyond comprehension that we have somebody in that role with that level of mental limitations.
Well, and I agree with everything you just said, and I gave an opening monologue that said some of that too. In fact, what's interesting too, by the way, I don't know if you know this, historically speaking, second time that we know of that Democrats have done this, President Woodrow Wilson had a stroke in 1919, and his wife and doctor covered it up for a year. It's a really sad piece of history, but what we're looking at right now, it plays out in the media, it plays out on social media, it plays out in every single moment. And yet we're all the ones who are the beneficiaries of that mistake they made by putting him in office in the first place.
Yeah. And listen, we can't afford, America cannot afford four more years of this. It's dangerous. I mean, bottom line, it is absolutely dangerous. It also reaffirmed not only our fears that he did lack that mental fitness, but it also showed us that once again we have two-tier justice system here in the United States of America, and obviously reinforcing that message, and then sitting there and saying, you know, as the special counsel said, it was both shocking and disturbing that, you know, he clicked down the list as you saw when you read, and then he said, but I think this is an elderly man with a poor memory. And unbelievable, and that he appeared to have significant limitations. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And so failing to prosecute over those reasons, but then still allowing him to sit in the presidency of, like I said, the greatest nation on the globe, it's absolutely unacceptable.
Well, so you say that, and so let me ask you this. There's always that discussion. and we can postulate about it all day long out here. I mean, us as pundits or us as, you know, just constituencies. But the reality is decisions will have to be made potentially at some point up there where you are. And I don't want to put you on the record as saying we're going to do the 25th Amendment. But I got to know that there are conversations being had right now in the halls of government, like, what do we do? How would we do it? I mean, when is this, yeah. When is it too late?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Well, here's the difference. I mean, we know that his cabinet is not going to invoke the 25th Amendment.
Right.
However, we do know his party is putting him back up to run for another 4 years. I mean, that is 100% what is happening right now. And to your point, when you look back and say, why did Woodrow Wilson, why did these people do this? Well, I think we know that he obviously is incoherent, but unfortunately, I think they believe the vice president to be incompetent. And I think we have seen that from the way that she has handled the border. Right after they came in, President Biden said, we have an issue at the border. Now, remember, he did 94 executive orders, removals, all the things to undo the work that President Trump had done, then puts her in charge. And what have we seen? A complete and total spiral. Our border is a disaster. It is a national security nightmare. And let's not forget that while he is president and ultimately owns every single bit of this, she is the one that he tapped to watch over it, to fix it, and to guide him as he did what he needed to do for the American people, which, once again, what we have seen is that they put the priorities of other nations, other people, above the safety and security of the American population, and people are just sick of it, Phil.
Well, and you're exactly right. I mean, I can just tell you right now, my audience covers a big swath of ground across the northern whole half of the state, and I don't have people that call in and say, I wish we'd just give more money to other people besides taking care of ourselves. They're all wondering exactly what you just said. So that's a great pivot point, great segue, because the other topic I wanted to hit with you is, most recently in the Senate, y'all had a allegedly negotiated bipartisan piece of legislation that would have dealt with what they called border security, but it gave more money to Ukraine, more money. I mean, it basically did a whole lot of stuff, plus a little something for the border. And that bill went down in flames after Leader McConnell even pulled his own support from it. So where do we go from here on the southern border? What's happening with legislative action on that?
Yeah, so look, I think the real tell is in what the Democrats would not give up. They did not come to the table and with the same goal as Republicans came to the table. You know, we want to secure the border. They want to continue to allow loopholes to exist so that they can facilitate mass migration. I'm going to give you just a couple of examples of what I'm talking about. You look at, parole. Well, I think that probably says it all. Parole. As we know, the asylum system is broken, and we see the drug cartels use that in a way that benefits them so they can make more money off of these, you know, humans that they are actually moving across our border along with drugs and other things. You know, but the parole is where the president is truly abusing his power. So for your audiences, just for general awareness, the president has the ability to parole individuals into the nation. If you look back under President Obama and President Trump, on average, those two presidents paroled about 5,600 people a year into the country. And I'm going to say that one more time. Both Obama and Trump paroled about 5,600 people a year into the country. Now, let's take a look at what Biden has done. This past year alone, he was 3,000 short of paroling 1 million people into this country.
Wow.
And they would not give up that tool because that is what they are using to skirt the system. That is what they are using to flood our country. And they ultimately would not even touch that tool in a way that was meaningful to make sure that we could secure our border and get things back under control. And so it shows you they're not serious about securing our border. It also shows you that President Biden 3 weeks ago said we didn't have a crisis. So how in the world do we negotiate with someone who does not see this issue as it is? And President Obama himself, his Secretary of Homeland Security, said 1,000 a day is a crisis. I mean, we had 300,000 people come across the border in December, and he still wouldn't say it's a crisis. So we didn't have a common goal. And when you don't have a common goal, you can't reach a proper outcome. And so that's what we're seeing. And then you're seeing, listen, I am so frustrated. When I look back over my first year in office, I've had a number of people say to me, what are you most surprised about? I am actually surprised at the level of dysfunction that exists in the United States Senate. And it is, when you look at the appropriations process, Phil, I am on the Appropriations Committee. I am proud of the work that we did. We finished over 6 months ago. We finished all 12 bills, marked them up individually, allowed for amendments to put it on TV. Susan Collins and Patty Murray, you've got to give them credit, did their job. Now you look at where we are. We have not sent one appropriations bill, and we are supposed to, so that your audience knows, 12 bills have to go to the president's desk before September 30th, okay? So we're talking last year, so that we can properly do our job for the American people, fund the United States government. We have not sent one to the president's desk, and in fact, today marks the 100th day that Chuck Schumer has not put an appropriations bill on the floor. It is disgusting. It is despicable. And when you look at what we're talking about right now, we are talking about a supplemental by nature. Just listen to that. That means you are supplementing something. That means how in the world, or in my opinion, how can we supplement something we haven't even done yet? That is like icing a cake that hasn't been baked. And until we pass all 12 appropriations bills and properly fund the United States government for the citizens of this nation, I think we are doing our disservice both to our citizens and when we look at the national debt and what that does and wasteful spending, and I'm not going to be a part of it.
Well, and by the way, I applaud that, because fiscal responsibility says actually do the job. It's not always just the numbers. Sometimes it's getting the numbers on the paper in the right timing and getting them passed through the processes and on the desk for signature, and I agree with that completely. But I also agree with the statement you made a moment ago that you said that we need a change in leadership. And I would say, Senator, I think it's we're looking at, we've got to see a change in leadership on both sides of the aisle. I mean, at some point soon, there's going to have to be that discussion.
You know, Phil, I think as we look and we look forward, we know who the Republican Party, we know who we are. And you and I have talked about this before. We are the party of parents. We are the party of families and American values, those of faith, family, freedom. We're the party of hardworking Americans. And so I think you will continue to see us battle that both internally and battle with our colleagues across the aisle. Ultimately, I know that those values are going to win, and we are going to get this right. And I have no doubt that we are going to take back over the Senate. We just got a huge, huge bit of news today. President Trump endorsed Tim Sheehy there in Montana, and I believe he will beat John Tester. I believe that will put us over the top to actually have control. And here's the deal. When we do take control, Phil, we got to do something with it.
Yep.
You know, and we've got to make sure that we are taking a look. To your earlier point, putting the numbers on paper, that's exactly what I think. If we put all of our numbers, if we did all 12 bills and we finished that and we said, you know what, we have some holes. There are some things we didn't plan for. Obviously, no one saw just the brutality of October 7th and what is occurring in the Middle East. Biden's weakness that he has projected has invited so much of this, the weakness that we saw for ourselves firsthand, that the globe has been seeing that for months on end, and this is the result of it. I mean, there are things that we may take a look after we finish our job for the American people and say, yes, we do need to supplement this. But to me, it is fiscally irresponsible to supplement something that you haven't even not finished. You haven't even started on the Senate floor.
Well, Senator, you make your points well, and I agree with every one of them. And we are literally out of time, but I want to thank you for making time for us today. I know you've been traveling, going back and forth. I really appreciate, by the way, I'll say it for the audience's benefit, you actually couldn't come on yesterday because you were needing to fly home so you could be there for your son's soccer game and then get back for votes again in D.C. So thank you for that.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. I got there right in time for the second half, got to watch his very first game. It was a proud mama moment. Got him to school this morning and then got back on a plane to come up here and proudly represent the great people of Alabama.
Well, we're glad of it. But, Senator, you have a great day. We'll talk to you again sometime soon, and thank you again.
Thank you so much, Phil.
All right, take care. All right, that was U.S. Senator Katie Britt. What I really enjoy – first of all, what I really enjoy is when a elected official comes on that I don't disagree with. That's always nice. But then I'll tell you what else I really enjoy is the passion she brings to what she presents. So anyway, we're going to take a break right now. I got to. Ran long. But we'll take the break. We'll come right back. I'll catch up on some of your text messages and head into the top of the hour. We're still in number one of the Triple Dipper. Who is in charge? Do they know right now? I'll tell you more about that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.